back to Romans chapter 10 again. And let me just read the passage again, the first five verses of Romans chapter 10. Where Paul writes, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." For the past two Sundays, I have primarily spoke about religion's primary flaw. I hope to, for the next few Sundays now, begin to talk about the primary attribute of believing. And then, God willing, after that, we will look at Paul's primary concern for Israel. Now, we have seen thus far that in both Israel of Paul's day, and it's still true of today, only I do want to kind of jump ahead for a moment and to say Israel of today is not exactly like Israel of Paul's day. And let me explain what I mean by that. Israel doesn't have the zeal of God today like Israel had back in Paul's day. They don't. Now, that's not that they're not religious, that there's not that there's no zeal, but they don't have the zeal. One of the prime things that around which their zeal centered, God took away from them.
Yes, sir.
Which was the temple. And even the sacrifices. Joe, they're not even offering the sacrifices anymore. But God willing, we'll look at it, that in some detail later. But as I've said, we have seen that in both Israel of Paul's day and I mean it this way, I'm going to add this in here, and sad to say, there's a part of me that's sad because of this, in much of professing Christianity today. A part of me wishes it were not so. But a part of me also understands and hopes by God's grace that I am being bowed to God's sovereign purpose in this matter. Remember, Paul told even the Corinthians that there must need be heresies among you. There's a reason for that. Not for the heresy's sake, by any means. Not that that has any pleasure toward God, or any honor, I should say, toward God, Joe. But he said, there are heresies among you, so that they that are approved may be made manifest. You see, God has allowed the evil to stay here, so we have a reminder of what the evil is. So again, I say we've seen that both Israel of Paul's day and much of professing Christianity in our day, they have a zeal of God, don't they? But it's not according to knowledge.
Exactly.
And being ignorant of God's righteousness, what is most of professing Christianity today? What is the, if you want to sum it up, it is doing, doing, doing. Paul says of Israel that they are going about, going about, going about. That's almost the way the word Greek would put it. This going about isn't just a one-time thing, Joe. It's not they've gone about. It's not just they did one or two things. They're going about. It's a constancy in this whole thing. They're going about to do what? Now, going about in and of itself's not bad. Now, Joe's already kind of mentioned that, hasn't he? Doing is not bad. We're not up here preaching against doing. I'm not up here preaching against doing. But as I said last Sunday, any or no work is a good work when that work seeks to establish the righteousness of the worker before God.
Amen.
Even preaching the gospel can be done in the wrong way.
Yes, sir.
for the wrong reasons, with the wrong attitude, and therefore be an abomination in God's sight.
That's it.
But what's the primary problem? This is brief review. What's the primary flaw of religion? Now, I mentioned they miss Christ, but it's more than just missing him. It's not Ellen, that there's two roads and someone gets on this road over here and therefore misses something on that road. It's not that kind of missing. The problem is they had rejected Christ. That's the problem. Because as Paul puts it, they have not, what? Submitted themselves.
Exactly.
You see that? That is the phrase. It's not just missing Christ in a nonchalant way, in an unintentional way. They intentionally set about to establish their own righteousness.
Exactly.
And sad to say, it's true of much of professing Christianity today as well.
Yes, sir.
The specifics of this missing Christ or rejecting Christ is that they do so in being constantly busy trying to establish their own righteousness. Now then, Paul here uses a word, and I've already mentioned it, but he uses a word here which spotlights believing in the context for what it truly is. That's why I have this title, The Primary Attribute of Believing. He spotlights the word here is submitted.
Yes.
Right? As he draws, he is using a contrast. Israel's going about when they should have what? Submitted.
Amen.
One signifies busyness. The other one signifies what? Bowing down.
Amen. Yes, sir.
When you bow down to someone, you stand still.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You lay yourself down in the dirt. You could equate it with resting.
Yes, sir.
Although the resting is not laziness. Is it? Now there are a lot of people that accuse us of laziness because we do not preach effort for righteousness before God. But it's not because God's people are lazy. It's because God's people like to rest.
Amen.
Resting does not signify laziness. Resting signifies submission.
Yes.
Bowing down. So again, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own. And going about. The very fact they're so busy, they've missed the real way. Do you see it?
Exactly.
They are so busy doing for God that they miss what truly honors God.
Yes, sir.
Now again, I want to point out, there's nothing wrong with good works. But there are very few things that are called good works even in Scripture.
Exactly.
There are very few things. But before I go into the detail of this, that is some of the opposing differences, the differences here, the distinctions that are made between going about and submitting, before we begin to look at this submitting in detail, looking at it in detail, what is this submitting? Before we do that, I feel it necessary to lay somewhat of a foundation concerning what faith and believing is. Because I don't want to stand up here and just talk about believing and submitting. And let me jump ahead. Believing is submitting.
Yeah.
Submitting is believing.
Yes, sir.
That's the whole context. Look at it. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own, since they're so busy, they haven't bowed down. Right? They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end. So what's the whole implication? They are not submitting to Christ.
Exactly.
That's the whole point.
Amen.
They're so busy working for God that they have ignored the righteousness of God. The true
Amen.
Righteousness of God. And the ignoring here again is not a nonchalant thing.
No.
It's a refusal. That's why he didn't say, and they have not believed in the righteousness of God. That's in effect what he's saying, but he uses the word what? Submit.
Yes, sir.
Submit. There are a lot of people talking about obedience. They really don't know what obedience is. Because there's not one person on the face of this earth that's obeyed God in one iota that doesn't first believe God. Because believing is submitting. Submitting is obeying. And on down the line. But before we go into that in detail, let's talk about faith. Now, I believe these things probably will be quite common to everyone here, even those who haven't been with us as long as others. Still, I believe, after talking to some of them, that these things will be quite common. But remember, we constantly need to be reminded because we are forgetful creatures.
Yes, sir.
Now, you bear with me a moment. I know doctrine. Okay? And I'm just being honest. I know doctrine. And there is some doctrine. I know that doctrine, Joe, from certain passages, Mason, up one side and down the other. But we remember what Paul told us to do when it comes to knowledge, don't you? Be careful of it.
Yeah.
Now, it's needful. It's needful, but knowledge puffs up.
Yes,
because
sir.
It's not just knowledge. And not only does knowledge puff up, none of us knows anything yet as we ought to know it.
Amen. That's it.
So I'll give you some honesty, and I'll give you the Word of God. I know doctrine, but that's not the point. It's not simply the point. I am so prone, that song, so prone, so vile, so full of sin, so prone to sin. I don't forget it as though it ceases to be a part of my psyche. But my very conduct would seem at times as though, David, I know nothing of what I profess to know. You know? It's almost like you forget. You don't forget. I don't know the best word, but it's almost like our old nature, ourselves Adamically, in Adam, is so full of darkness that you don't see the light.
Yes, sir.
Even though you may be full of light in Christ. That's how bad the flesh is.
Yes, sir.
So I want to talk about faith. What is this faith? What is this believing? Now, I'm not going to deal with this a whole lot, but faith and believing, and it's probably one of the best ways to put it, this term is used to describe a lot of things, but I think it adequately describes faith and believing. Faith and believing are two different sides of the same coin. Okay? You have one coin. You have what we call a heads and a tails, you know? You have two different sides, but it's one coin. Faith is a characteristic. It's an attribute.
Yeah.
Okay? As a matter of fact, faith is an attribute and it has characteristics. That's the way I should say it. This is faith in believing. Faith is something that is intrinsic to God alone.
Amen.
Because God alone is faithful.
Yes, sir.
Right? Faithful is an adjective. Is that the right thing? The right English. It's faithful, which describes what faith is. It's faithful. It is the constant state of being trustworthy. Okay? That's what faithful means. The constant state of being trustworthy. And only God is that intrinsically.
Yes, sir.
You can depend on me for certain things. But even then, that can change. You know? And you can think you know someone for years and find out that either it changed or maybe it wasn't what you thought it was.
Yeah.
You know? That's happened to some of us here. Maybe all of us here. But some of us has been more pronounced. That you think you know someone for years and you find out they either changed or they never were what you thought they were from the beginning. I mean, there was, what was it out in California, that one guy that was killing all them people? He was married and had kids. And this is what I'm told. I can't see the heart, David. And the wife didn't even suspect this guy was this serial killer. You know? And somebody said, well, this can't be. Well, let me tell you, I know some people. I can understand that.
Yeah.
And I'm not being mean. There are people, man will surprise you. The only place where faith is intrinsic is in God Himself. We are not creatures of faith. The reason is we fail in Adam. In us, all that we are now by nature is unfaithfulness. It is unbelief. And if believing is submitting, and it is here, that's the way Paul puts it here, right? Believing is submitting. Submitting is believing. Then what is unbelief? It is rebellion. It's not just a neutral state. It's not just the lack of believing, you see. It is disbelieving. That's the way the scripture puts unbelief. Not simply the state of not believing, but it is disbelief. Now there are people who are unbelievers because they've never heard. But even after they hear, they will still remain unbelievers, even in a worse sense, because not only did they not know Mac, but once they hear, they will disbelieve.
Exactly.
Because that's what unbelief is. It's both. Alright? So faith and believing are two separate, but yet they're the same but different. Separate but yet connected. Okay? Faith is an attribute, but it has characteristics. And the characteristic of faith is what? Believing.
Yes, sir.
Believing is the activeness of faith. Now, I could go into scripture and deal with that, but that's been preached on here. Earl preached on that. That's not what I'm going to try to talk about this morning in detail. Now, what I really want to talk about is this. I want to talk about the source of faith. I think everyone probably already knows that. You ought at least, if you've been here, as long as some of you have been here, and you don't at least know the source of faith, something wrong with you.
That's true.
Something's wrong with you. Because there ain't nobody here young enough that ought not know that. Not even at least be able to academically have took that in, as much as it's been taught here. What is the source of faith? Well, turn to Ephesians chapter 2.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
What is the source of faith? In verse 8, for the sake of time, I'll just begin there. Actually, the first few verses speaks to what I just said about us. We're unfaithful.
Yes, sir.
We're disobedient. We're disbelievers. We're unbelievers. We're vile. We're corrupt, right? We're lustful. Right? David, we're all the negative things. That's what we are intrinsically. God is all the positive things. I'm putting that in a certain way.
Yes, sir.
Even some of the things we love. As Adamic creatures, we can love. But we love the wrong things.
Exactly.
And even when we try to love the right thing, we love for the wrong reason.
Amen. That's right.
You see? So we can't win for losing, as the old phrase goes.
Exactly.
But, look at it, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now this faith and grace go together.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Because the God who chose us in grace also chose for us to have faith.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He chose for us to believe. He didn't just choose us. He chose us unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We can state it this way for our human minds. He chose us and He chose that we believe. But it's not like He chose us, but He didn't think nothing about believing yet. And then later He said, well, I believe I'll choose for Him to believe too. That's not the way God operates. That's not who God is. Everything in eternity, you cannot use time words to describe it. But we use time words because that's the only way we can, to some degree, get a hold of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I cannot perceive knowing all things absolutely, and it sounds going to say from all time. I'm so limited to it. This knowing all things absolutely. I can't comprehend that.
Exactly.
You know? I learn. I grow. I gain knowledge. You know? And I make decisions. And then more decisions based upon the knowledge I've gained. God doesn't do that.
Exactly.
It's for by grace are you saved through faith. But there's a connection. Grace, faith, They never can be truly separated, but they're still distinct, right?
Yeah.
Grace and faith, but it's by grace through faith, not the other way around. It is not for by faith are you saved through grace.
Exactly.
That's what a lot of so-called Christianity is preaching today. You come up with the faith, then God will give you grace. That's what they're teaching, right? If you boil it down, that's their doctrine. That's their teaching. You come up with faith, or you work it up, or just do it. However it comes, you have faith, God then will give you grace. But that's not the way it's stated here.
Exactly.
It's stated here, God must first supply the grace, and then and only then will the faith be there. But it's much more than just God. Well, it's much more than just God supplies the grace, and then it is maybe perhaps the faith will come along. No, because look at what it says: for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves.
Amen.
Now, without going into the Greek, the "that" here signifies not only the grace and the salvation, but the faith as well. The word "that" is a neuter. Okay, it's in the neuter. The word grace, saved, and faith all are either feminine or masculine. Well, see, here I am doing it. But I might as well go ahead and do it. In the Greek, there's a general rule. When you have a "that," you know, it's "that," not "a," not some general. And "that," not of your... What's not of yourselves? Well, grace is not of yourselves. Most people agree with that.
Yep.
But they don't.
That's it.
They say grace is not of yourself, the faith of yourself, grace. But then when they actually, if you get grace by faith, then grace ain't. Grace comes by what you do too.
Exactly.
But nevertheless, in the Greek, when you have a "that," if it's in the neuter, then that means whatever other word it's applying to, it's talking about that what? What that? It would have to be in the same gender. Okay? That would specify what you're talking about. The problem is grace, saved, and faith, one of them's like masculine, the other's feminine. And the reason then that is in the neuter is for what? So that it applies to them all. That's the rule in the Greek. Had he used "that" in the feminine, it would apply to only certain parts. If it had used "that" in the masculine, it would apply to only certain parts. But since the other two parts are feminine and masculine, and "that" is neuter, then that means it applies to what? All three.
Exactly.
What's not of yourselves? Grace is not of yourselves.
Amen.
Salvation's not of yourself. And faith's not of yourself.
Amen.
And it actually says, and "that" is not of yourself.
Yeah.
It is. And see, the "it is," it's not really in there, but it's okay. It doesn't hurt anything. In other words, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God.
Amen.
The source of faith is God.
Amen.
Any faith that's of any value, any faith that is spiritual, any faith that ever honors God, must have God as its source. That's not just a doctrine Paul taught. That's the way it is.
Yes, sir.
That's who God is. Paul's not talking about how he thinks things ought to be. You see, Paul's talking about here's how things are. God is the only being, entity, in all that is, or is not, for that matter, that has faith.
Amen.
Okay? Faith. And the only way any other person can have any of that kind of faith is as a gift.
Yeah.
A gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And it's almost like the Spirit of God says, and listen, that's not enough. It's not enough just to say it one time that way. You're going to put it another way. He comes right out and causes Paul to write what else? Not of works.
Amen.
You don't work up faith. You can't work up faith. I can't work up faith.
Amen.
God is the source of faith. Now, there might be a faith you can work up.
Oh, yeah. Any faith.
But it's not the faith that honors God.
Amen.
I mean, there are people who, I do it. I plant seeds. I believe they're going to grow. Why? Because I've seen it happen before. Basically, I believed it to begin with because other people told me it would happen. It would work. But as experience goes along, Joe, you learn. If I plant this, it's probably going to come up. Now, not all of it does. But I believe. But that's not the same kind of faith as this faith.
Exactly.
That's what some people are teaching. You take, you know, I've heard it said. I've heard this illustration used. You plant a seed. You believe it's going to grow. You've got faith. Now, what you need to do, put that faith in Jesus. Well, you can do that. You can do that, but it won't do you a lick of good. Because what you'll be doing by that faith is trying to establish your own righteousness by that faith. You're trying to take something that's intrinsic to you and gain God's favor by that. That kind of faith don't work. You see, the only kind of faith that God uses is His faith. You see? And what He gives is what? A gift. Not of works. And why is it not of works? Because God's not going to share the credit.
That's
right? Lest any man should boast. God's not going to let us boast.
Amen.
Because that's the way God is. God wants all the credit and He's going to have it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And those who are taking the credit are, in truth, not taking credit. They are ignorant. Right?
Yes, sir.
They are ignorant of God's righteousness. As I said before, you and I can't believe enough to get that belief to get God's favor.
That's it.
Mm-mm. The faith we're talking about, the believing we're talking about, is a gift from God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God. It is the gift of God. It's not of your effort. That's another way you could put that. Not of works. He's not even talking about good works here, Mason. Any work. It's not good works here that's even the question. It's any effort. Man cannot work up this kind of faith.
Amen.
Somebody say, you're saying it over and over again. Sometimes that's what it takes for us to get it.
Yeah.
Say it over and over again. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now that's the source of faith. Now that scripture's clear. Now you wouldn't even have to know Greek to see that, would you?
Right.
Now you don't have to know Greek. But man is so blind, he can't see it.
Exactly.
See, that's why you have to have the grace first.
Yes, sir.
But aren't you glad you don't have to know it for it to happen to you?
Yes.
You don't have to understand it first for it to happen to you. Amen. Because if it did depend upon us, the whole verse would be wrong.
Yeah.
The very fact is, when God gives grace, faith comes. Faith comes. Now let me ask you something. Go back in your mind. You may not have time to do that now because you have to eliminate certain time. Well, go back to when you first believed God. Okay? I'm not talking about as a little kid and you believed in God like you believed in Santa Claus. You found out Santa Claus wasn't real. You do know that, right? Okay, so Santa Claus is not real. And let me tell you something. The God that most of us believed in as little kids wasn't real either.
That's right.
Because no matter how much truth we were associated with, we still couldn't know God apart from the grace first. You see. Even our knowledge was skewed. Our believing was skewed.
Yes, sir.
The whole point is this. Let me get back to the way. God is the source of faith, but you go back, well, when did I first believe God? And you can go back and say, well, wait a minute now, though. And I'm talking about when God began to work with you. I'm talking about, or God began to work on you. God began to deal with you. You know what I'm talking about? When God began to open your eyes and your ears, you began to, in some degree, you began to understand who you are and who He is and what His demands are. And you say, well, okay, I believe God right there. I believe that about God. But then you can say, well, but wait a minute. You know, I remember before that believing this.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And if it, most of, I couldn't remember. I couldn't go back and tell you. But if you go back and you look, when did I first believe God? That's hard to tell,
yeah,
isn't it? It's hard to tell. Now, what I'm about to say, I'm still not saying you can give a day and a time and a moment. But I know I can give you a specific time period when God finally bowed me down to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that is where I have a place, Joe, to lay hope. Not in what happened to me, okay, but in what God began to show me.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
There was a fellow in Scripture. Let me give you an illustration of this. We're talking about the source of faith is God. And when God gives it, I don't know how to explain this other than to put an attempt at it. When God gives faith, you'll have it.
Amen.
And you will begin to believe. You will begin to believe whatever you begin to hear from this word.
Yes, sir.
You'll begin to believe it. You may believe in the virgin birth to start with. Okay, you may have. You understand? You may be, one of the first things, Joe, you may be reading about Matthew chapter 1 and Jesus Christ being conceived of the Holy Ghost, right? And you'll believe that, right? But is that what it takes? Is that what it means to be converted? Believing in the virgin birth. Well, the problem, there are thousands upon thousands and thousands of people that believe in the virgin birth, but they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see? Now, that believing for them is to no avail. But if God brings you to bow to Christ as God's righteousness, then that believing, if you believed in the virgin birth, was to an avail, wasn't it? But you can't lay stock in believing simply the virgin birth. You see? Well, I know I'm one of God's because I believe in the virgin birth. No. I have confidence that God has worked a miracle of grace in my soul, Joe, because He's bowed me down to Christ as His righteousness.
Amen.
That's where it's at. And until God brings you there, it's going to be a constant groping in the dark. Even though you may see, you'll be groping in the dark. You remember, I don't even have the passage wrote down. You remember our Lord gave an illustration of a man handing out some talents. Well, the talents wasn't abilities. It was coins. And He gave one fellow so many, another fellow different amount, right? And finally gave one man what? Wasn't it one talent? I think it was. Now the first guy, he took those talents and he did what with them? He made more talents.
Yes, sir.
Why? These talents came from where? The master.
Yes,
the guy in charge. The ruler. And he deserves to have his money set to usury.
Yeah.
Huh? He made money for him. The next guy, what'd he do? He took the fewer he had, but what'd he do? Made money with it, didn't he? So what, for himself? No. It was for the guy who owned the talents. You see, it was for the guy whose talents they were.
Yep.
But then the one guy gets what? One talent. And what's he do with it? Takes it and buries it in the dirt.
Yep.
Well, at least it's safe. Right? At least it's safe. And you know what happened to that fella, according to the illustration? He was cast into outer darkness. Huh? And what did the man say when called to question, where's my talent at? And anything else that comes along with it. He said, well, I knew you was an austere man. Remember that word? That's what we have in the Greek, or in the English. You know what that man was confessing? And he said, I knew you're an austere man, and you reap where you sow not. Now, the only person that can reap where they sow not is what?
Yeah.
We'll give it for you. I could write it down, but I had a sovereign. A sovereign is the only kind of being that can reap where they sow not. He understood the sovereignty of God. And even his fear was, he feared this man. He didn't want to lose that talent, did he? But what did he do? Hid it in the dirt. Now I know there are those who try to say, well, see, you've got the talent. You've got the ability to believe. That's not the meaning of this. That's not the reason this story was given. The story is given to show that men can believe even truth and still perish.
Yeah.
That's right. They can believe truth and still perish. Every person, I've used this, you could use any doctrine of Scripture, any truth of, I believe Jesus Christ is coming again. That mean you're converted? You see what I'm saying? There's thousands of people believe Jesus is coming again. Some of them, Joe, you mentioned them. They know he's coming again. They're hoping to be with him. Yep. And he's going to say no.
Exactly.
No. No. This faith is meant to bring individuals to another person.
Yes.
Faith brings God's people to Christ, not just to sovereignty. You see? Not just to sovereignty. Now, I'm not saying that believing in sovereignty is a bad thing, but it could be. It could be if that's all you ever believe.
That's
all you ever believe. See, the Jews, you remember that one guy? The disciples went out and they were doing this and doing that. And some of the, it was the Sanhedrin. It was the Jewish leaders. And they said, we need to stop them. We need to stop them from doing this. You remember what one of the leaders, may have been Gamaliel? May have been him, but I can't remember right off the top of my head. You remember what he said? You best leave us alone. If it's not of God, it'll come to no avail. But if it is, you can't stop it. That man believed in the sovereignty of God, didn't he? But he was still what? Lost! You see? What I'm trying to point out is faith, the faith that God gives, the faith that only can come from God, has Christ as its object eventually. Eventually. You don't have to start out that way. It's not that we all are immediately bowed down to Christ as the righteousness of God. No. But eventually, that's where God will bring you to.
Yes, sir.
And until he does, you got no right to claim any part of it. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the message Paul's preaching here. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge, because their knowledge is wrong. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, they're going about to establish their own. And as I said it again, we can't believe enough truth to get God to show us favor.
That's right.
But when God shows you favor, you will then begin to believe the truth. And I tell you, that truth will finally boil down to where you then begin looking to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It'll work down to that. Now maybe you started off that way. Thank God for it if you did. You know? Thank God for it if you did. But I'm saying it doesn't necessarily happen that way. But the reason I say that is so that no one here says, well, but I believe this and I believe that. Now I'm asking, has God bowed you down to Christ as God's righteousness? That's what I'm asking you.
That's it.
And if you have hope in God, if you feel, well, I'm persuaded God's laid hold of me, but I don't know that I've been brought there, then seek God for it. That's all. It's the only advice I can give you. Seek God for it. Pray for it. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something. It'll come in God's good time. Because come it must. You can believe the 5 points. And if you're still going about to establish your own righteousness, then you have not yet submitted yourselves unto the righteousness of God, and you're in no better shape than these Jews were, or than much of Christianity is today. Now, I know there are people who don't like this kind of preaching. They just want to hear, here, give me the doctrines, and I believe it and make me feel good. Right? And I'd go home today and say, well, I'm one of God's. No. Scripture constantly tells us to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. And I take that to be a constant, everyday endeavor. It ain't something I can do today and say, all right, well, I'm fixed up for the rest of my life. Because even when I've been bowed down to Christ, there are times, Joe, that I find myself trying to rise back up against that. There are times, God, now let me tell you something. It's true, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. But when God gives you grace, you don't submit yourself. He submits you.
Amen. That's right.
He puts you in the dirt. Now you will willingly submit, but you will have no choice in the matter. It won't be up to you. He will cause you to willingly bow down. Right? Why? Because the book says so. It's God that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do you think it's God's good pleasure for men to bow to Christ as His righteousness? I do, don't you? But if you do that, it wasn't you that did it. It was God working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So, my time is up. I'm hungry. God is the source of this faith. Okay? This faith. The faith. The only faith that really matters when it comes to God.
Exactly.
Now, having faith that this will happen and that will happen, that's a good thing for life. We need that, right? I mean, I got to have that because they don't do like they do used to. Used to, you go out and work, and after the day was over, what'd they do? Well, I got to wait 2 weeks now. Huh? That takes some faith. Especially, I'm going to get in trouble if it's good, especially from the state. But it's the truth, isn't it? That takes some faith. But that faith's not enough. That faith is not what honors God. That's not the faith of Ephesians 2, 8, 9, you see. God is the source of the faith, this faith. But here's the question, and I'm going to have to deal with it, God willing, next Sunday. How does this faith actually come? How's the manner of this faith come? Now, we know it. God's the source, and it's given as a gift, right?
Yes, sir.
That's what it says, right? But how's the manner of it? Now, think about it, because we got a little dilemma here. Go back to Ephesians 2. I got to give you this. Set the scene for God willing next time. Or maybe even today if we want to talk about it afterwards. It doesn't matter. I can talk about it and I'll preach about it again Sunday. We're in a despicable state.
Yes.
Right?
That's it.
By nature, we as natural men, we can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. So here I am, a natural man. Okay? Here I am years ago, let's say, and I'm in Adam. I'm born dead in trespass and sins, and in the flesh, that's all I was.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
But let's take it for today. That's all I am in Adam right now. I'm flesh. Does God just put faith in me? All of a sudden I believe? Huh? Or here I am. Here I am a natural man. I'm unregenerate. I'm in Adam. I'm depraved. I'm totally depraved. And all of a sudden, God has someone preach the truth of the gospel to me. And all of a sudden, He somehow puts faith in there, and I believe. Huh? Is that how it happens? You see, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. If God put even that kind of faith in me, as I was by nature, I'm so blind, I couldn't see it. I am without strength, so that means I couldn't use it. Right? By nature, that's what we are. I'm so sinful, I would corrupt it. Right? So we got a dilemma, don't we? If God just give it to me like I was, I'm still hurt. Right?
Yeah.
I couldn't avail myself of it. Now let me tell you, we got a lot of folks running around, and you don't have to be an Arminian to be in error. They seem to not have any idea about how all God... They know God gives faith, but they don't know how God does it. Now, if God didn't tell us how He does it, we'd have to just shut up and say, God gives it, and that's it. But God tells us how it comes.
Yes, sir.
And God willing, we'll look at that next time. Father, as we continue here together, eating together, may it be that we are enabled to fellowship in the person and work of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Help us to enjoy one another this day, and our time together is as seldom as we get to see one another, especially as a group as a whole. Lord, help us to enjoy this time together. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's eat.